Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Hal Lublin from the Nation of Conversation. Do you like merch? Do you want some sweet Tights and Fights merch? I'm going to tell you what to do. It's super easy. Go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating. That's nice. But leave a review. That's what we need. We need those reviews to unlock that merch. Think of it like one of those thermometer fundraising things. We need to fill that thermometer. And when we do, we'll be rich with T-shirts. And you can do something like KDO40, who says that they've stopped listening to every other wrestling podcast because we remind them of their buddies getting together to watch wrestling. I messed that up. Just like your buddies might when you get together to watch wrestling. You never know what's going to happen on Tights and Fights. But I do know what's going to happen right now because you're such a great member of the Nation. You're going to go leave us a 5-star rating and a brilliant review on Apple Podcasts. Way better than me tripping over my own words. So go do it now and then enjoy this episode. Let's talk about Roman's Shield brothers, We're going to do it. Let's talk about... Sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Later. I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you for being there to catch me when I fall.
Tights and Fights Podcast. It's the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
I'm back, and better than ever. So built for no reason.
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the alpha male, Hal Lublin.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that
that's
nice?
That's good.
That's a good one.
That's me. I'm going to put it on my softball jersey.
Nice.
Can we start a softball team so I can get a jersey?
Yes.
Yeah, can is the part of the softball team where I just sing stuff and you guys play?
The bench?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That works.
I will be the bench.
You don't set the bench.
You are the bench.
I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Hardcore Hair Devil Danielle Radford.
Hello.
Hello.
And the Funky Pharaoh, Mike Eagle.
Right.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm a pharaoh and I need a shower. Thank you.
Thank you for wearing your full pharaoh garb today.
I mean, how fortunate am I that that was my description for this week, and I'm also wearing a skirt and a headdress.
It's a really, really nice skirt, by the way.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
I was hoping you'd notice, Danielle.
Of course. Girl, you notice. You know I'm going to notice.
That's good.
You know I'm going to notice when you wear that dope-ass skirt.
Pulled it up a couple inches for you.
Don't bend over. I make that mistake too many times.
Don't turn it into a Red Band trailer. We just want a sneak preview. Not all the dirty bits. All right, we've got plenty to talk about today, from friendships being strengthened to friendships breaking and plenty more. But let's start out with Roman Reigns and his first successful intercontinental title defense against Elias. They pulled a good match out of one another. They worked together well. It was a good showcase for Elias. Probably got him over even more than anything else he's done so far.
And goddamn announcers were just filleting the man the entire time.
Look at Elias. He can wrestle. It's like, it's his job. So.
He really can't do it. It wouldn't be an upset at all if he would. We would all expect Elias to win, and we wouldn't be surprised even a little.
Now that he's a credible could-be champion, where do you take him next?
You know, Elias is great. Somebody has to show him how to hit people with a guitar correctly so he doesn't put it into the sides of people's faces and shoulders. That's the only thing that I worry about with him is that he swings a guitar like a baseball bat and he's going to kill someone.
Well, you know,
a great way to get concussed.
Yeah.
In baseball spring training, they have like special instructors that come to teach. They should have Honky Tonk come in.
Or Jeff Jarrett.
And Jeff Jarrett.
If he could. He'd do it for the check.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Jeff Jarrett not being anywhere near TNA, there's a reason why Matt gets to be broken now.
There you go. Oh, that's true.
Mind blown. Mind.
Is there a feud you would put Elias into right now that you think would help elevate him further or keep his heat until he can challenge for
It would seem title? That it would necessitate them having a strong baby face for him to... feud with, and I can't think of who that is right now. I mean, I feel like all the strong baby faces are like in the Shield.
Yeah, I was just gonna say like Dean, maybe maybe he can do a program with Dean.
I feel like that wouldn't help him.
Fuck it, give him Asuka. Feed him to Asuka.
I actually really like that idea. Right? I think it would be really great if Asuka just kicked the shit out of him.
He's in there singing, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he's just getting his head kicked in.
Oh my god!
Sneaks up and is like. That's what kicking sounds like.
I'm on board with it. Yeah, those are the kicking.
That's what kicking sounds like.
That's a lot of kicks.
That's almost Chun Li level.
That's pretty close.
That's how Asuka kicks. Like, she kicks so fast.
Elias is not going to be challenging again for the IC title anytime soon because there is a new challenger to the belt in the form of Samoa Joe, who choked out Roman Reigns after their match. Is this a step down for Samoa Joe, considering he was in the world title picture? And I know that he's wrestling Roman Reigns, but doesn't it feel like he should still be in that world title picture?
You know, I don't... What world title picture?
Yes,
I
guess that is the question.
What world title picture? There's nothing else for him to do. And I will say, I'm going to go ahead and go up, and I'm sure someone will prove me wrong somehow. I will say that the heat between the two of them that they built in the last time they had a program together was part of why we now have a Roman that people like.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the good work that both of them did during that feud.
Right.
That feud, I think, was like the first part of his eventual like, oh, we're totally into this again.
So in a case like this, does it make more sense to put Joe over Roman? I was going to try to come up with like a cute like Joe thing. Please don't edit this out. Does it make more sense to put Samoa Joe over Roman Reigns and give him the title, given that now their history is Roman can't beat Joe? That's something that they've established.
I think, Roman goes over unless... I mean, because we're getting into Royal Rumble, WrestleMania season.
Time for the road, you guys.
Yeah, and I mean, our penciled in WrestleMania main event is Roman and Brock, right? So
you're going to take the belt off
Roman at some point, probably not this next event, whatever that is, maybe at the Rumble or something. But I don't know. Does Roman have to be in the Rumble to get to that match?
Well, and also, I mean, the two of them can have a program against each other for like a really for however long they want to. And one nice thing of a million nice things about the Shield being back is we're getting back to a point where everything on the show starts to feel like it's like... Not even one story, because I don't think we're going to get back to, like, those days. But everything on the show starts to feel like everyone's at least on the same show. Because sometimes it doesn't even feel like that. And it's starting to, like, you know, if this is Marvel, this is WWE building up towards their Infinity War. Ugh. And I'm kind of into it.
I always secretly hope that, but they never do.
I know. But it's the road. We're getting to the road.
It's true.
Let me have hope.
I'll try. I'll try to let you have hope. I just also don't want you to hurt.
Oh, I hurt so much.
Yeah.
I think you bring up a good point. I think you both do. This is what I see. I see the belt coming off of Roman at Royal Rumble. And then that way Roman's free if he wins the Rumble. Because they've had that before where the same participants go. So they have a good 8 weeks that they can tease it out. They can get the better of one another leading towards a blow-off match, which is actually the match for the title. But we'll see how it goes. Let's talk about Roman's Shield brethren, Ambrose and Rollins, who will be invoking their rematch clause with the bar for the Raw tag titles. Should the Shield get the straps again so they can have all the gold like they did back in 2013?
I mean, yeah. If you're going to be the dominant faction...
Dominate.
You gotta dominate. Gotta have them titles.
Yeah. It makes me feel like there's something wrong with me as a fan when the matches are good, but I don't like the feud. When I'm like, I don't want these teams fighting anymore. They're having good matches. I'm just not invested in the feud. And it's like, am I broken?
You're having an X's Shield still crisis.
Yeah. Is there something wrong with me? It doesn't even have to do with the Shield. I don't know if it's the Shield. I don't know if it's the bar. I don't know what it is.
You think
but
you'd feel any differently if they were... Who the hell is other tag team on the damn...
It's because they're all injured.
Yeah, everybody's hurt.
Austin are injured, Matt and Jeff are... Like, Jeff's injured, so...
Yeah. I mean, if it was the club...
Yeah, or the Mr. Rush, like...
Ooh, the Mr. Rush. You know what? I'd be into the Miz Taraj having those tag titles.
But would you be into them feuding with the Shield is what I mean, though.
Yes.
Okay.
I would be. I think I would be. I think I would be from a storyline standpoint.
Okay.
Because it makes sense. Whereas the Bar were thrown in there because they're workers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good. And they have. I get it. Like, it all makes sense. I'm broken. It's me, right? We can say it's me. It's fine.
I don't really care about the feud, but I am enjoying it because it's good matches.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard to have bad matches with those four.
And I,
it really is.
I am also, I'm really starting to enjoy the Bar, like all their little antics and weird little things they do. I really like how they're trying to like find ways to get over, and I support all of that.
All right, let's move over to SmackDown, where Kevin Owens got a main event win over Randy Orton. Can we call him Randy Snorton or Randy Borton?
Ooh, I like all of those. I like Randy Snorton a lot. Like Randy Snorton, am I right, you guys? Oh, I love that.
Kevin Owens in the main event with a win over Randy Orton with the help of his best buddy, Sami Zayn. This was a fun match.
The Randy Orton of it all just always.
Of it all.
It's fine. It's fine. I have come to grips with the fact that Randy Orton works for the WWE, and I have to see him wrestle sometimes.
And he's not bad. Like, he has...
He's not bad. He's just a charisma black hole.
Do you think that the win that they got, where Sami Zayn found a way to cheat, even though he wasn't allowed at ringside, so he attacked on the ramp, worst chair shots I've ever seen.
Pretty bad chair shots.
But specifically to the back of his leg. He was going for the area that he hurt, so I get it. It took me like till halfway through the attack to go.
Awkward.
I get it, but it also looks like he's really protecting him.
Yeah.
Which maybe he is.
He doesn't want to get his gym bag shat in.
Yeah.
Well, and also.
Xbox not there.
Well, Orton's done some bag shitting, I've read.
Oh, has he?
He's that's a bag the big one. That's the big rumor about Orton is that he shits in bags. That's a huge rumor.
He has at least shat in one bag, at least. But I guess if you do that once, that reputation should stick with you.
You guys remember that Harvey Danger song, Bag Shitta?
Yes.
Paranoid, I'm paranoid, and Randy's going to shit in my bag.
Does it help them to get wins like this over Randy Orton? And there was a little reason why the match happened, because it was revenge for them interfering in Survivor Series. So finally, at least something. The only thing that, by the way, that has carried over out of Survivor Series is
their heat.
Is their heat. Does this help them maintain or build their position on the card to get wins like this?
I mean, nothing that Randy Orton does ever matters. I think that's the problem. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. He could, like, come out and RKO.
You are the face of ennui right now.
I don't know what that means, but it's probably it's probably true. He could RKO all the announcers, Vince McMahon, and everyone in the front row next week, and then the week after, nobody would even remember it happened. There's just no stakes with Randy Orton whatsoever. The move is over, and his pose is over, and then that's it.
Also, the textbook definition of ennui, Mike, a feeling of listlessness and dissatisfaction arising from a lack of occupation or excitement.
I'll have you know I have many lists. Thank you very much.
You just made the list.
You just made the listlessness.
That's right.
You know what you do when you wrestle Randy Orton? You know what happens?
I'm listful.
There's been DIY, Golden Truth, Enzo and Cass, Jericho. Let's hear the latest team to go up in flames in 2017.
Hype Bros. Now you've been trying to get on track for a while now, but you haven't came close to that.
Hype Bros. Just seriously saying the word Hype Bros.
A year ago, the Hype Bros were top contenders for the SmackDown Tag Team title.
Back when the writing was good on SmackDown, we were in a much better position.
The landscape has changed, and now we have to change. We've hit rock bottom, and the only way...
That was the sound of him hitting rock bottom.
Hey, you wish you had hit rock bottom.
Theater of the mind. That was wonderful.
You hear me? You hear me? The Hype Bros again! You hear me? Listen to me! Hear what I'm saying?
They don't write nothing for us now. I gotta turn on you. It's the only hope for my career. I don't want to get future endeavored.
This is the only story we know.
Future endeavored. I know this is like the millionth time this has happened. I know it feels like the thousandth time this year, but go back as far as you want. You'll see tag teams breaking up on each other.
Sure.
You can just back up to the Rockers.
Sure.
And go just say from there on. And that's not even the first one for it to happen.
No.
That being said,
it's been a lot the last year.
There have been so many tag teams where, like, Jericho, while it was fun, was like two singles guys being put together.
Right.
This felt like a tag team. They were a tag team in NXT. They were a tag team here. So the breakup meant a little bit more because they came in.
It
came in that way. That's what I would argue. They didn't have. They were the unfortunate victim of injury when Zack Ryder got hurt because they won the number one contendership and then he was hurt in the process. Mm-hmm.
And they were unfortunate victims. Of being the people they are.
Wow.
I like both of them. Whoa. I did not like them together.
Shots of
fire. I like both of them separately. I hope that they do better. I did not like them together as a tag team at all.
Well, I mean, well, they're about to feud, so you're still going to see them together.
I don't mind that. I don't mind them feuding. I do say that this happens a lot. On a scale of, like, caring about the hype bros to not caring about the hype bros, I'm officially, like, 51% care.
Gotcha. I was happy that this breakup came as a result of them being bludgeoned a lot it'd be really easy for them
The bludgeoning does have consequences.
It did, and that sounds ridiculous, but I actually mean that so much that I'm glad that this team got beat up so much 2 weeks in a row that they decided to break up rather than to keep. I like that because then it serves the dual function of getting the Bludgeon Brothers over. I don't like saying that, but it gets them over as a destructive force, and it actually causes a ripple effect so that leads into other feuds, and I think that's good booking.
They look good. The Bludgeon Brothers looked good.
I don't like their outfits, but I'm fucked up in the head. Because look, if I never saw either of them before, I would think, these are the new fucking Road Warriors. You know what I mean? But since I've seen them so many times.
Like, how many times are we going to have new Road Warriors?
Well, have we had a bunch of Ascension. Other than Demolition? Oh, Ascension, you're right.
Ugh. Yeah.
I have a note here. I'm glad you brought up the outfits. I have a note here from Julian. I want to give him full credit for this. This is a quick fashion corner. Why are the Bludgeon Brothers dressed in 90s era Hardy Boys gear?
I don't even. You know what they look like to me?
A lot of bondage straps, my friend. It's a lot of bondage. I'm just every time I see that, I just imagine like wallets attached to every strap
and
every chain.
What are they like?
They look like the twin villains off of G.I. Joe.
You know, Tomax and Zaymon?
That's what they look. That's what they dress like to me. They look like some Crimson Vipers without helmets or something.
My God.
Like something like that.
Oh, see, to me, they look like if they'd gone to their moms and said, can you make me an original Mankind outfit? And she was like, I don't have all the material for it, but I do have these orange drapes. Let me just get some pieces to cover up the strips I'm missing.
To me, they look like, you know how in Batman Beyond, it was always like the kids of people. So this is like Kane Beyond. Or like if in the future, Kane had two kids.
Nice. Yes. Wow.
I had to go back with the Batman Beyond reference.
Backwards forwards.
It's like, Harley Quinn had twins, and her twins are really bad. Anyway, it's
Speaking of betrayals, though, Jinder Mahal attacked the Singh brothers after they lost to AJ Styles.
Yeah, that was coming.
Is that how the mini faction should end? Was that the only way it could end?
I think that's the only way
he
it ends.
He beat them up after he lost to AJ and lost to title AJ. He beat him up then, so I don't know if this beat up is any different than that one.
Do you put the title back on Jinder?
No. Who wants that? I don't even think people in India want that.
I'm raising my hand.
You are.
Yeah.
You want that.
I feel like he just figured out who he
is. Kinda, yeah.
And a win over AJ would do him wonders.
Ugh.
I do think that he has been doing good work lately.
Yeah.
But then you're going to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please.
But then you're going to say that losing the title won't hurt AJ? Is that what we're going to say?
No, it's AJ Styles.
I don't agree with that.
Really?
I think I already disagree with it when people talk about that in regular matches, let alone the fucking world championship. Like, I feel like those reigns is like AJ hasn't been put in that position a lot, and I feel like when he gets there, they gotta fucking like give him a run.
Want him to have a run through the road. I also want Jinder to have a title.
Yeah.
And if it's not that title, a different title.
U.S. title.
U.S. titles would be good for him.
Yeah.
And how much fun would he have having the U.S. title making fun of us wearing our own belt?
You want to see more of that? More gender making fun of us with belts.
As long as it's not like weird and racist, I'm good with it. And that, again, that's not his fault. That was like weird writing and whatever.
I just feel bad that people will say that the Jinder Mahal experiment, quote unquote, was a failure. And because of that, he is less likely to ever get a shot at the title again. And it will be not an asterisk, but it will be seen as a valley rather than a peak in the lifeline of the WWE Championship, and I think that's a shame.
Well, then,
and unfair.
But you have, not his fault.
But you have to ask yourself, what was that experiment designed to accomplish?
They wanted to get India.
Anytime that you are basing these decisions on anything other than
in-ring
stuff, what is the audience responding to? What is a good story? Anytime it's like, well, what will our investors like? Well, how will right. this help us make money in this market? How will it help us open up in this market? That is definitely detrimental. It should be about the talent. But however, if you're Jinder, you don't turn that down. You're
because
look, this is my shot. I'm taking it.
Right, and with all that said, Jinder Mahal, the wrestling character, is a million miles better off than he was before all this. So mm-hmm. I feel like for him, it's worked either way. I just don't think that, like, they have to have him in the title position, because I feel like what that was causing was for, like, him to be in random feuds that didn't make sense, while the people who people really wanted to have the titles were, like, feuding over the U.S. title, and it didn't make sense.
Okay. Yeah. I see that logic.
Yeah, I guess we'll just see. It's all a matter of just what happens next. You know?
I really hope
it's a good
that
point.
He continues to stay in some kind of title picture and isn't just, like, relegated to superstars or whatever.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree. But I also
He has earned his spot.
And I think he's got real heat now. He's got real heat. He's got a fully developed gimmick with these two guys and his, you know, all the shtick that he's developed. And I don't feel like he's just going to be shunted, you know, all the way to the pre-show. Well, he could. But, you know, I think he's better off. I think he's better off after having gone through the experiment, whether it failed on the business end or not.
All right, let's go back to Raw. Is the brutality between Kane and Braun Strowman keeping you interested in this feud? I'll go first. No. Not at all. Not interested.
I want Kane to have a good last run. I just don't. I want Braun to do other things. I want him to beat up other people. I want him to constantly be able to beat up anyone at any time. Like, I like Braun as a force of nature. Just a southern giant ambulance riding, garbage truck riding force of nature who could attack anyone at any time, and that's the Braun that I like.
This is a chafing dish feud in that it doesn't really do much except keep him warm for something else, right?
I agree.
I was really interested in this feud after they built Kane up, but I don't like how they're it seems to me like they're playing it out like a match that happens like one move at a time, like a chess match you play by mail or something.
Magneto
like,
and like, Xavier playing chess.
Yeah, I don't like that. Like, I want him to have a match or don't have a match. Like, I don't want, like, oh, he went through the ring this week. Oh, he came back and hit him in the throat, and then the next week he hits the other guy in the throat. Like, I want him to have a match or don't have a match.
Remember how one of them is still running for mayor?
Oh boy.
Oh, Lord. Well, all right. Now, real quick, let's get a little more chatter conversation on the show outside of the main roster. We know a lot of you have been asking for that. Let's spotlight a bit of NXT. Danielle, what have you seen that you think everyone should pay attention to? Please say Velveteen Dream.
It's literally Velveteen Dream.
Yes.
Like,
that's
it. And I know that we talked about it last weekend and we gave him his dues, but I'm going to go ahead and do it again. It's Velveteen Dream. It's I cannot remember who did this article. But someone, maybe Sports Illustrated, maybe ESPN, did a great article about how Velveteen Dream, what he can do now, doing a version of Goldust without the gay panic.
Right.
And it works. And obviously, Patrick Clark is, like, amazing, and he's been a fan of wrestling forever. He's only 22.
Wow.
Which, fuck that kid forever.
Boy, can he wrestle. Boy, can he wrestle. I was saying when we were off of the air, I didn't realize it was Patrick Clark until I saw that match on TakeOver, because I hadn't been watching NXT. I'd just been reading and keeping up with what was going on. And every time I saw a picture, I looked at it very quickly and went, oh, that's really interesting. But actually watching, I was like, oh, that's Patrick Clark.
Yeah.
And
Killing it.
I remember him being good, like, he was further along than everyone else, but wasn't quite humble. And that was his issue. And obviously that's been worked out.
Another quick fashion corner. Congratulations, Ruby Riott, for
getting an extra T.
A, getting the extra T, and B, you know, she's on the main roster now. She got that main roster weave. Look at her.
Yeah, that was a serious weave decision, man. I mean, it was like night and day.
As soon as she got saw, 10 pounds of hair, as we were always talking about.
Was it that much? Was it? A
it's
lot?
Not that much. It's a definite difference.
It's a signing bonus.
Yeah, I think that eventually they are going to go ahead and give her, like, some kind of version, because they don't want to, they're not going to want to make her two page. But yeah, no, a decision was definitely made that, like, hey, you know how everybody else here got a lot of hair? Just He just like 8 more inches.
Well, let's continue on that chain. So we have 2 new factions of women on Raw and SmackDown. We've
doing
got Absolution.
Doing the same thing every week.
And Riot Squad, but they were a little different. Here's why I think they're different. The Riot Squad had their match, which they won by picking apart the wrestlers one at a time. But then Absolution, their match never began. They just beat down on Sasha Banks after attacking the other two. Do you feel like you're seeing the same thing?
Yes.
Because it occurred to me, like, watching, I was like, is it going to be the same thing? But I felt like it was different enough. You feel like it's the same? Which yes. one do you like better? Do you not like both of them? Do you like them both?
I mean, you know, it's the difference between, like, Reed and DC, and it's like, well, it's Earth 1 and Earth 2. Like, you know, one of them's the Justice League and one of them's the Justice Society of America. It just, I mean, I love Paige. I'm glad that she's back. I love Ruby Riott. I'm glad that she's back. They are the only bright spots on either of their teams. The other 4 women, I think, are good. But there's a reason why they have Ruby and Paige leading it, because they are the best. They are the most charismatic. So I'm hoping that it gets better. And I have been saying this forever. I don't understand what Liv Morgan's thing is. Mm. Just a lesser Carmella? Like,
yeah, I mean,
know.
It certainly looks Carmella-esque.
Yeah. She's also a lesser Alexa Bliss. Early yeah, Alexa Bliss.
She
like,
needs,
cheerleader. Because she's
she
a cheerleader, right?
Is that what she comes from? She needs something to set her apart. You know, super happy that there's a queer lady and super happy that there's, like, these brawler-coated women that are on.
Oh, who's queer, by the way? I have no idea.
Sonya? Is it Sonya?
Yeah, what's her name on?
Sonya Deville?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I like Sarah Logan's personality.
And now she actually can have a crush on someone who might have a crush on me back.
There you go.
How about it?
See?
I'm excited to see how both of them go. Because Paige makes sense. It makes sense for Paige to take the title.
Yeah.
She's had the title before.
I am interested to see, like... Again, I'm sorry, guys. My head's in superheroes all the time. But I just watched that, like, Crisis on Earth X or whatever, like, mm-hmm. big thing that they did on all the DC CW shows.
Yeah.
It just feels like that to me, where it's like there's the alternate Earth version of the other one. And I'm just interested to see what happens when their paths diverge. Because right now they're telling the same story. And it's an interesting story. But unfortunately, because they so clearly mirror each other, I'm not watching for the story. I'm watching to see how they do it differently.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a bummer.
That is the main error. It's not even just that it's like possibly lazy or possibly redundant, but it's like one of those things that slaps us in the face and like punishes us for watching both shows. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like watch all the programming and constantly be reminded that they don't give a shit enough to like make one program that much different from the other when it comes to this angle in particular. Just right. like it's a distraction.
If you want to see the difference between the Raw and the SmackDown writers, this is going to be our chance to see how they handle the exact same situation differently.
Listen, one of them has a very pale woman with dark hair as the leader. I see where I'm going with this. If you've got any thoughts on the week in wrestling, keep the conversation going at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, Matt Hardy's broken universe could finally be upon us. We'll talk about it. That's coming up on Tights and Fights.
Hi, everybody. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Me and 3,000 of your closest friends just found your next podcast obsession.
Serial! Okay, but like the second best podcast.
Serial! Oh, just listen to My Brother and Me on MaximumFun.org.
There you go.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Tights and Fights Podcast.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined in the booth by
Danielle Radford
and
Michael Eagle.
Every week, we like to give one part of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock!
Matt and Jeff Hardy reinvigorated their careers with the Broken Universe gimmick. It was full of bizarre imagery, absurd crossovers, and a very accented Hardy family. Ever since Matt and Jeff made their return at WrestleMania this year, everyone's wanted to know when their broken universe was going to be coming to the WWE. Well, this week, we learned that it may be very soon.
Please, 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 witnessing the beginning of a Matt Hardy breakdown.
Do not let that hand go up when you're doing them deletes.
Oh, that's a real good tip. If you're in the audience, keep the hand down. Yeah, why not do it low?
Go low just to be sure, but make sure you're, because if you accidentally let that hand go up.
Now, are you still interested after all this time in Broken Matt Hardy making a return? Has the window for that shut?
I mean, they have certainly missed the fucking window.
The hype window.
There was a time
now they've got to build it.
When he first got over there, they were almost the hottest act in professional wrestling.
Yep.
And that was on, you know, in TNA, it had a fraction of the eyes.
Right.
So there was a window by which this could have been really huge. I remember it was soon after that that they had a Paul Heyman promo where he was listing possible opponents for Brock Lesnar. Matt Hardy got a huge pop. Mm-hmm. And you could imagine that wouldn't get the same reaction today just because of how they've kind of let his character languish now.
That's exactly the point of why they didn't let them come in and do it, is because they knew it would have gotten over huge.
Well, no, I think they weren't legally, they couldn't.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why TNA didn't let them do it at the time, because they knew if they came over, it was going to be huge, and they're petty.
Yeah. Is Bray Wyatt the right one to break him? Gotta do something with him.
I've heard something about you, Matthew.
Would have broken... Matthew, my son Randy wants to play with you. He's growing his hair out for you. He wants to be broken too, Matthew. Matthew and Randy sitting in a tree. Wait, hold on, I can do this. Matthew and Randy sitting in a tree. B-R-E-K-K-I-N-G. First comes deletion, then comes marriage, then comes Vanguard 1 in a broken carriage.
Maxell.
Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat. You have to bring the whole broken universe.
You have to bring the whole broken
universe. His father-in-law's got to be there, yes. Whatever his name is. He got to have his son.
Mm-hmm. He's got to have his wife.
Two sons now.
His wife's got to be there. Sarsgaard, the dilapidated boat. The accents.
The accents. Must have the accents.
The drone. You have to. But WWE, I was going to say their version of that would be different. We saw their version with the New Day and the Wyatt family fighting.
One of the worst things.
That was terrible.
So butt cheeks.
I still think that
so booty butt cheeks.
Yeah, my God.
I still think that the original, that broken match, whatever it was called. What was it called? Final Deletion.
There's a bunch of them.
Was also terrible.
You didn't like it.
It was cheap. Remember, we talked about it.
I don't remember.
I think it was one of our pilots. That was the point. Okay. That was the point.
It was, but I don't.
Look, it could be Raw's version of Fashion Files. That's how you do it.
Wow.
I guess so.
I'm smart.
I just perked up.
And also, I think that the way to get into it now is we know that Spot Monkey has been doing some shows. He's been back in the ring doing a couple of things now.
Oh, Jeff's already back.
I don't know how well he is, but right. He did, you know, when they, I forget where they were at. Was it Starrcade? Might have been Starrcade when they were twerking with the New Day.
Okay.
But yeah, that's my idea for it. You just have it. It's just Raw's version of Fashion Files, where it's just silly and fun,
now,
and there's green beans.
And that points at what I'd be most fearful about at this juncture, is like the Fashion Files. It's a lot of time spent on writing these things and producing them or whatever. But it just does not seem to cross over into competition, like, at all. So it kind of exists outside of the wrestling show in a way that it makes me not want to all the way pay attention, because it doesn't matter.
Well, they found a way to do it on their own, basically. They found a way to do it in TNA. So I do feel like, I mean, I think you bring Rebe in, because obviously, like, she's a huge part of what made that work, and she did a lot of the writing and the legwork and everything on those segments. I think you bring her in and you talk to them about how you were able to make it work and cross over. So it's not just like a wacky sketch. You know, you're not just suddenly doing 3 minutes of sketch comedy in the middle of it. But it does have implications that involve, you know, the wrestling show.
I'm sure that was a lot easier in TNA just because, you know, it was kind of a vacuum where not much else was happening really outside of a couple of players. So it was easy once something like that caught on to give them more importance in the ring, where I feel like WWE is going to be a little bit more protective of the quote unquote seriousness of the title pictures in a way that's going to, that makes me concerned that this, even if it's awesome, they're not going to let them like,
oh, this isn't going to be a title picture thing.
Well, I mean,
maybe
yeah,
the tag titles,
you know,
maybe.
But that's, to me, that puts a ceiling on it that I don't like.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What's the unfinished business with the broken gimmick? Also, I get people want it back because it was hot. What are they going to do with it in WWE that they couldn't have done in TNA? I mean, I agree with Mike. I agree with what you're saying. They're probably not going to put the world title on it. But I also agree with Mike in that if you put a ceiling on it, it's nowhere near as effective. Why would you change somebody? You know, the idea they keep coming back to in Something to Wrestle, which Mike and I both enjoy greatly, is if everybody you bring in and put something behind, you see them main eventing WrestleMania, whether it ever happens or not. If you bring in a gimmick like this that has already been wildly over and don't have the idea that this is a main event type gimmick, then what is the point of bringing it in at all? Hasn't this already run its course?
I think it could be a main event. Like, I do. I don't think that they would, but I think that you could have this be one of the 8 main events at WrestleMania. Right. Like, it could definitely be one of them.
Ronda Rousey versus Broken Matt Hardy.
You would pop into that.
I would. Absolutely, I would.
Vanguard on a pole match.
Man, even like a Brock Lesnar, you take someone who's so serious and no nonsense, and you have Matt Hardy try to do that with him, and he just starts suplexing him.
Oh, my God, Broken Brock Lesnar. Wouldn't that be the best thing ever? That'd be the best couple months of my life to see Broken Brock Lesnar.
Oh, my God.
Suplex monkey.
Oh, my God.
What was that? The pool or the lake called?
The resurrection.
Oh, to me, that's the best. Like, if they could do stuff like that.
And then
in
bring
WWE,
back people's gimmicks.
Yes, that would be the best shit ever. Like, because that's the stuff that really got me about that. Well, like, how they would, like, because it was, okay, it was cheesy, it was corny, yeah, but like, how it was constantly, like, referencing wrestling outside of them and referencing their past gimmicks and giving people excuses to like play different characters. Like, that's the stuff that really opens it up and makes it so much fun. So if they're able to do anything like that, then I just think the possibilities are endless if they're willing to go there with
them. You could do that with like legends and stuff too. If you want to protect your current roster, you could do that with someone like the Rockers or you know, anyone else if the Hurricane wants to come back.
Yes. Yeah.
And then have him do that. I think that you could. If X-Pac wants to come back, and you know, when you throw him into the Lake of Resurrection or whatever, and he comes back and he's like 1, 2, 3 kid in it, that would be fun. And it still protects your current roster from all the silliness.
And WWE can do it because they own every gimmick.
And also, Matt's friends with all those dudes because they're his age.
You know, this just all made me think of Damian Sandow, and I got really sad.
Aww.
I just thought of something really over.
I still see him. He's nice. He's doing fine.
Well, he's at PWG?
No. He lives with someone I know. He's doing good. He seems fine. He's a very nice man who takes out the trash when it's his turn.
Is he happy?
He seems happy.
Oh, good. Will he come do the show?
Probably not. I would never have the courage to ask that.
Listen, if you think that Danielle should ask him or Julian should get him to be on the show, or other thoughts that you have on Broken Matt Hardy or the Broken Universe in general, send a Vanguard One message over to facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, it's time for 3 things from wrestling that we loved. That's coming up on Tights and Fights.
Hey guys, this is Adam Conover. You may know me from my True TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. Well, guess what? Now we're doing a podcast version right here on Maximum Fun. What we do is we take all the interesting, fascinating experts that we talk to for just a couple minutes on the show, and we sit with them for an entire podcast, really going deep and getting into the fascinating details of their work. Find Adam Ruins Everything wherever you get your podcasts or at MaximumFun.org.
Tights and Fights Podcast.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Michael Eagle.
Every week we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. Danielle, we won't put over.
Your weird ass voice.
Hey.
So, I'm putting over Nia Jax, because she wrote a very awesome tweet that went viral, where she's running on a treadmill, and she wrote, I am subjected to body shaming, and it's something I have accepted. It sucks when you get it in your own backyard around people you're changing in front of and trust with your body. I am a healthy, bigger woman. I love my body. Body shaming is wrong. And she has been such a great... God, I don't even want to use body positivity anymore because now they're using it to sell diet plans and shit, and it makes me angry. She is a great fat advocate, and... as someone who also tries to do what I can do just to be a fat advocate, which is, I mean, just the idea of, like, fat people are people and we should probably just be treated like it. It's dope. Like, not so much as, like, it's not an advocate for, like, you know, it's not saying that any body type is better than any other. It's just like, yo, you know, fat people are people and treat us like people. And I did do that just by being fat in public and on the internet, apparently. But... I just thought it was really great. It makes me incredibly sad that it's happening in the locker room, which is what it sounds like. And I know a lot of people are extrapolating things, and I'm not going to do that here because any of the rumors about who it might be about make me sad. So I'm just not going to entertain them because they're rumors.
No. Wait a minute.
Not getting into it because it makes me sad. And until it is confirmed who it's going to be about, I'm not going to let it make me sad. But so, yeah, I just wanted to give it up for Nia for always just being publicly fucking dope. And staying positive and staying a role model. I wish there would have been someone who looked like her and did what she did when I was young watching wrestling. So that's dope.
That's real.
Yeah. Mike?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Julian?
All right. So I'm sorry, Mike, that wrestling got you down.
No, wrestling ain't got me down. I just didn't like nothing and I didn't want to fake it.
We appreciate your honesty.
Yep, yep.
All right, but the thing I wanted to put over was WWE had a pretty great new documentary series called 365. The narrator that they have for it is terrible, but outside of that, it's pretty cool insight into a year in the life of, I'm guessing, a wrestler regularly, and this time it was Kevin Owens, who had a pretty great year last year. And one thing that really struck me that I didn't realize is when they lay it all out like this, Kevin Owens has gotten his momentum cut out from him a lot. He was supposed to be the Universal Champion going into WrestleMania. Goldberg came along and those plans changed. And one of the things that I really loved was when he's in the car going to WrestleMania, he runs into some other people in the car who also used to be champions and have since ran into some bad luck, that being Becky and AJ, and they just kind of kvetch for a quick second, and it's really, really great. So I loved like that.
Pull up a little. I want to get AJ's attention. Hey, they're filming for a thing on. Are you ready to show them why we both should have been in WrestleMania main events?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Remember when we were champions?
Yeah, I remember.
That was the best. Oh, hey, gals. Hey, how's it going? Isn't that funny how it works out? We'll all be champs again.
One day.
Let's f*** up tonight.
Let's fuck shit tonight?
Let's fuck shit up tonight.
Ah, okay. I didn't hear the up.
That's like, I just like that.
Just shit fuck tonight?
Let's have sex with shit tonight.
I just feel like this business is like something that's like the amount of like slippery career advancement is all over the place. So just hearing how like you can be doing your best and you feel like you can be doing really well, but you still find, hey, you know, at least I've got my friends that'll at least make it a little bit better when they suck.
So. And other people who are like, hey, remember Becky? God, Becky's gotten it the worst.
Yeah.
Becky's amazing, and like, how is it not? How is she never? How have they never?
They took away the steam both in her career and in her entrance.
She'll be.
They took the steam away with the pyro?
She'll be huge when she comes back from filming Marine 900.
That's true. I'm very excited to see how many puns that she does in that movie, because I feel like they're going to make her keep the puns.
I wonder if that's going to be her thing.
I want it to be.
She's the sniper who uses puns.
Summer Rae was the sniper that didn't talk.
Number one with a bullet.
Ping.
See? They write themselves. They write themselves. All right, I'm putting over the fashion files.
Yay.
I hate that these guys aren't wrestling, but hey, they're on TV pretty much every week. They're still over. They're getting the Ascension over too. I've never seen.
Be friends with those boys.
I've never seen a Saw movie before. I never
you saw
will.
One now.
Yeah. Not interested.
That's what they are.
This is the
That's
best okay. version of them possible. Right. Here's a clip.
You've been making a mockery of the tag team division.
I think that's Kofi.
It's time you learn a lesson.
Could be.
To escape this room, you must destroy what you love the most. You have 1 minute until a poisonous gas fills the room.
I'm like 90% sure that's Kofi.
But the games begin.
Could be. All the stuff with the Ascension is really, really great. Although they do leave them to die. Spoiler alert.
Be friends with those boys. Also, I'm kind of disappointed that they didn't call it Scene.
Oh, that's Lord. Funny.
It's bad.
And I just got it. Holy shit.
Well, that does it for Tights of Fights.
I just remember what I want to put over.
Oh, okay.
No,
go
I'm
ahead.
Not, I don't,
put
I don't
it
remember.
Over.
No.
Put it over.
Say words.
And I just, no, this is thing on, it was on Edge and Christian's podcast. They had Brian Gewirtz on a few weeks ago.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was fucking hilarious. But I'll put it over the specific thing next week. Tune in, folks. Cliffhanger!
You know what? I'm off next week, so I won't get to hear it. But I will listen to the podcast. You'll see me, and you'll hear me in 2 weeks. You'll see me never, because I don't live with you. That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts are Mike Eagle and Danielle Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin. Anything else you guys need to promote? I've got a show coming up in January, Sunday, January 14th at San Francisco Sketchfest. We got this doing a double bill with Craigslist podcast with our good friends Craig and Carla Gakowski. Their guest is Busy Phillips, one of our fellow Work Juice players. Our guests are Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher.
Those are all the homies,
excited.
Man. Those are all good folks.
All the
man.
Homies.
All so good folks.
Come check that out. Mike, you're going to be on the JoCo cruise.
I am going to be
We're
on the
missing
JoCo
each.
Cruise.
I was on last year's.
Yep, and I'll be on this year's in February, leaving from
San Diego
going to Mexico with, I know Will Wheaton's on it.
He is on it.
And Jean Grey, and I don't remember who else.
Cameron and Rhea.
Yeah, great. Okay, good. Yes,
Jonathan Colton.
A lot of, I think Hodgman's on it again.
Hodgman, Palm Storm.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a fantastic time. I'm Look also, December 9th, I'm going to be in Charlotte at... Ooh. Oh, Evening Muse and December 10th in Nashville at a place called The High Watt. And then I got a bunch of shows in L.A., but I'll get those together to tell you about them next week.
Oh, I should bring up also, sorry, Danielle, I'll be at the Wiltern this Saturday with Welcome to Night Vale. I don't know if there are still tickets available, but if there are, you should get them. And then next weekend, I'll be in Seattle for PodCon. I'll be there hosting stuff and moderating stuff and leading giant games of Werewolf. And you can still get tickets. Go to podcon.org, I think, or podcon.com. Try one of them.
That's awesome. I'm going to donate mine to reminding all of you guys that the Obamacare enrollment ends on the 15th. So do the things. In between calling your senators and calling your senators and calling your senators every 5 minutes, begging them not to kill us. Don't forget, if you don't have health care or if you've got a whatever, Obamacare enrollment ends on the 15th. That's what I'm donating my time to.
Do it all. Our producer is the head of Blatino World Order, Julian Burrell.
God.
Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle's the voice behind our theme music as well. We're putting him over for that. Don't forget to listen, download, and buy 8 million copies of his new album.
Yes.
Now available on vinyl.
Yeah.
Vinyl shipping.
Get it.
Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. Special thank you to all of the Maximum Fun members who have made some of their donation go our way and keep the lights on when we're here in the studio. And if you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Write a beautiful review and share us with all your friends. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Yeah.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.